Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze all your online marketing campaigns. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/income. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
A special bonus episode of Musicals with Cheese. Today, as we do every year, usually a little earlier, but I'm glad we're doing it now, we have a countdown of the previous year's best episodes. But it would be really, really dumb if me and Andrew or Liz kind of did that. We'd be objective. We just remember the process of recording it. Thankfully, the wonderful and incredible Juliet Antonio, our own keeper of the cheese, has been keeping track, listening to episodes, and is the best authority on what the best episodes of 2023 were. And with all the wonder in the world, Juliet, I am passing the ball to you. This is your show now. What do we have in store?
All right. Hi, everybody. For those who don't know me, if somehow this is your first episode, then interesting choice, but let me give you the lowdown. I'm Juliet. I'm the keeper of the cheese. One day, Jess said it would be hilarious if somebody created a spreadsheet of the cheese ratings. So I made one, and I've been doing this since episode one. And how this works is I go through every single year, picked the top 10 episodes for that year, and then I assign the top 10 cheese ratings of that year for Jess and Andrew, for the guests, and I'm also doing one for Liz. Liz's is going to be a bit different because I'm going to give you a cumulative cheese rating since the first time I reviewed the top 10 episodes, I gave Justin and Andrew cumulative ratings as well. So I feel like that would only be fair. Okay. Yep. So everything that we are covering for 2023 is basically everything from A Star Is Born up until just before Tar. I think the last one was Grandma Got Run Over by All of the Other Reindeer.
Yeah.
So, as I always
beautiful.
What a fanfic.
Oh, no, Liz, don't bird that into existence. Moving right past that. So, as I always do, I'm going to start around with everybody and say, what episodes do you think are going to be on the top list? Who wants to go first?
Andrew, why don't you go first? Because I'm curious if you remember any episodes from last year.
Oh, fuck. I have a notoriously bad memory, so I really don't.
In a certain way, every musical is your first.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah,
let's see. Let me see if I could just pull up our list of episodes and see if there's something that sticks out to me.
I can send you the wonderful cheese rating spreadsheet that Juliet has put together painstakingly for the last, like, 3 years now you've been doing this?
It's only the reason why I'm here. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
This was the year we did all the Phantom stuff, right?
Yeah, we did all the Phantom stuff. We also did the Matilda musical, I think, and Dreamgirls.
Yes,
and Dreamgirls was Bree's last episode.
All right.
And when you started taking over editing.
Okay, best episodes, the frogs, something from Phantom Month, and I don't know what else. Those are my predictions.
Okay, all right.
My big prediction... Yes. I'll go next. My big prediction is Brigadoon's got to be on there. In the moment, I knew magic was being made while recording that episode, and it's still probably one of my favorite tangents and some of my favorite pieces of Andrew's editing ever. So, that is the big one where I'm like, that has to be on there, right?
I made a Brigadoon joke with my friends. None of them got the reference, but everyone in your server did, so I was so grateful.
The Patreon server, join it.
Join it.
Yes, please join the Patreon server. It is really, really fun. I can attest to that. Liz, what is your prediction, do you think?
I came in late, so I had to like dig through the episodes a bit. I agree with Jess. Definitely Brigadoon. I felt the magic happening when we kept talking about Columbo and I wasn't annoyed.
I remember listening to that episode and being like, man, Liz is great. Everything is great in this episode.
And I guess I'm also going to, this is recency bias, I'm going to 8 crazy nights just because we all kind of went insane collectively.
Oh, that
I'm
going to
guess
my brain.
I'm going to guess those two.
Okay.
Great choices.
All right, let's get into it. I want to know. Number 10.
Oh, I want to know.
I want to know.
Okay. Can you show me? All right. Sorry, Ethan. All right, so something's going on with my mouse. Hold on one second. Okay, so I've got it. All right, can everybody still hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Can you hear us?
All right, so for number 10, we have episode 252, The Fantastics. So,
Monica!
I will admit my bias. This was one where I wanted you guys to be serious and not shit on or even use too much humor. I think I'm just protective of the show and how the music makes me feel. But I think there was one inclusion that made this episode work, and that was patron Monica Thoreau. She has the optometrist precision with her thoughts on this show. And Andrew and Jess, it kind of made you guys be on your best behavior, although the most hilarious part was Andrew creating the visual of El Gallo with flaming hot Cheetos. I was laughing my ass off in the car. That was humor and good taste.
Wonderful.
I don't do it often, but sometimes I have good taste.
I love that episode because it is one of the more requested ones. I didn't have that deep familiarity and love for it that I know a lot of folks do. So I was very grateful for Monica there. And she's just a peach of a human being, and getting to know them was a good time. And I got to learn about the proper ways to get my eyes checked during their time as our. Monica's great. Go listen to that episode. I forgot we did that one. All right. What's next, Juliet?
Okay. So, number 9, we have episode 250, Newsies. The one we all knew was inevitably coming.
Yes.
So, there are 3 shows that everybody was waiting for you to cover. It was 3. Sorry, I misread that sentence. So there were 3 shows everybody was waiting for you to cover. Newsies, another one that's going to be featured on this list, and 6. And Jess, I'm going to make an observation, too, in fact. Okay, you said you put off Newsies because you didn't know how to talk about it.
Yes.
I think you underestimate yourself. Because you weren't a fan, you realized, okay, I still have to make this a good episode after so many people had been waiting for it. So you dug deep down to the bottom of your soul like Diana did in the chorus line and made an effort to explain why this wasn't exactly for you. And Andrew was your perfect foil. However, This episode also gives me my second observation as to the infamous Jess hates dancing theory.
Jess does hate dancing.
I don't hate dancing. I don't like this.
Well, here's the thing. As the person who has listened to every single episode, here is the truth to this statement. Here is the axiom. Jess hates dancing unless it is Bob Fosse choreography shot for film. Because you like the dancing in Sweet Charity, you like Chicago, and all that jazz is one of your favorite movies. So you don't totally hate it, you just need it Fosse'd up with all the appropriate angles.
Oh, I hope I don't contradict that in our damn Yankees episode we just did.
You don't. You literally say you that dancing is good.
Perfect.
It's the Bob Fosse choreography.
You said Bob Fosse likes because dancing, you like it.
Yep. All right, I am anything if not consistent.
Now it's out there. Now everybody knows and everybody can stop talking about it. It's okay, Jess. You're safe.
We'll never stop talking about it. Yeah.
You're just confirming what we all said. He hates dancing.
Yeah, Andrew and I will continue to bring it up.
He hates dancing asterisk.
Yeah, except Bob Fosse when it's shot on film.
That's a tiny asterisk.
That's a very small asterisk.
Stop talking about my asterisk.
It's so fucking small. You can't even see it.
Yeah, it's a little small.
I was worried about that episode, but I'm glad, like, you're a fan of Newsies, that you really enjoyed it.
I'm not a fan of Newsies, actually.
I think it's
fine. You know, okay. It's not my favorite musical of all time, but it's like, you know, if somebody had it on the streaming or when I went to go see it and I got a free ticket, I was like, well, it was worth a free ticket. Mm-hmm. You know.
Fair enough.
Fair.
Now for number 8, episode 270, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, really? that's a shock.
I feel like Forum can get forgotten in the Sondheim pantheon just because it's the one that seems least like him, even though you listen to the wordplay and you can identify it's him almost instantly. And there was a great explanation about hummable songs. Plus the conspiracy theory about how this is connected to the frogs like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon was a revelation. And I had been looking forward to you guys covering this because as a musical farce, I figured it'd be right up your alley. And you were able to list the pros and cons of the movie in a fair and balanced way. The most hilarious part was when you guys added this to your Sondheim ranking tier list. And Jess, you say to Andrew, you pick what you want. I don't care. And then fast forward 5 seconds later to Andrew, you're putting that above this? What?
Okay. Put it where you want. I don't care. But also, what the fuck, man?
He just we're hates gonna get that I have that good taste.
we're gonna get into that a little bit later. But to wrap up Forum, it was fun to hear you guys talk about this and what came out of an intense back and forth between Sondheim and George Abbott and Jerome Robbins that led to Forum being the way it is. Maybe that's the real reason Sondheim related to Seurat.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh. I love these so much, Juliet. I'm just I'm on the edge of my seat wondering what the next one is.
You never know. So,
I'm excited. I was on that episode. Now I'm here. Yeah.
Yep.
Liz, how did you feel? I remember you thought that show was super sexist. I don't remember if
I've reflected on it. It's stupid. I was mad only cuz when I hear sexism initially, I'm like, I hate this. And then I think about the context of the sexism, I'm like, nah, he's not a sexist. He's just doing a parody musical. Like, just chill. Like,
I also
just have fun with it.
Oh yeah, I also feel like everyone forgets Buster Keaton is in that movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
one of his last roles. He's barely a presence, and it feels kind of sad seeing him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Okay, episode 271, The Book Thief, featuring Lady Knight the Brave.
Really?
Yes.
What?
My reaction was, when I first heard, when I saw the title on my phone, I was like, they made this a musical? Only the West End. So Lady Knight the Brave was the perfect guest to have, going into detail about the visual medium of theater versus film versus the original novel and what can get lost in translation between each one, especially in the Gentile Savior narrative when visual elements just don't work, such as the boxing puppets. And you guys both listened. It was one of the more constructive conversations about West End theater you guys have had on the show, which is why it's on here.
But West End theater is pretty dumb sometimes.
Oh no, West End theater is very dumb. It's like there's European theater with France and with Germany And then there's West End Theater.
With David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
Go see a play.
Yeah. This is a shock. Just because that night I just felt so tired and we all were kind of burnt out. It was getting close to like the November, October time. So we're just all so fucking exhausted. So I'm glad that turned into constructive conversation.
Good. I couldn't tell that you guys are burnt out, honestly. You guys troop through it really, really well. Yeah.
We are professional.
Actually, the first thing I said about that show was, it's mid, and then Jess cracked completely. Like, it's mid, and then Jess laughed his ass off.
There's the wheeze.
Yeah,
it's
that
been
happened.
A while. It's been a while. All right, Julia, what's next? What number are we on?
All right, let me count.
Is this
10,
five?
9, 8, 7, 6.
All right, 6.
So, for number 6, we have episode 237, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, featuring Big Beak Entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, my heart. I love this episode.
This one went to some weird places, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Every now and then, a guest comes on the show who fits in perfectly with the Musicals with Cheese humor and world, and Big Beak is one of them. The humor that the three of you had together with your rapport worked really well, and you guys dove into what makes Peanuts unique. What works about this musical and what doesn't, and the really interesting casting. We all knew Kristen Chenoweth, but Anthony Rapp, wow. It's another odd mark in Peanuts history and in musical theater history, but I feel like what also really helped with this one, Jess, was the interview you had done with Andrew Lepa years and years ago, because it gave some context for this episode. And it was also another one where Andrew's editing skills really shine as Big Beak pretended to be Doug Walker and the Channel Awesome theme played in the background. And Big Beak just rolled with it. It was perfect.
I feel like in that episode, didn't I, every single time someone mentioned his name, I think I played it again.
Yes, it was fucking hilarious. I love it. And yes, I'm so glad this made the list. And Big Beak was someone I had wanted. Literally, I was like just salivating at the idea of having him on for like months and months, but too nervous to send out the email. And then when I did, like I knew like, oh yeah, you'd fit in perfect here. What was I thinking?
Absolutely.
And then School of Rock was also just as chaotic for different reasons. But let's move on.
Okay. So, all right. Number 5, episode 234. Andrew, you were correct. The Frogs.
Hey!
It finally happened. Andrew was foaming at the mouth and chomping at the bit to cover the frogs. Jess's words were, and I quote, "You're selling me on a show I know is bad. Stop it." And lo and behold, Jess was wrong. Listen, is The Frogs perfect? No. But this episode showed, don't necessarily believe the rumors or the hype. The best way to find out is to see the show for yourself, or to listen to the cast album yourself. It's another Sondheim work that gets swept under the rug, but in a different way from Forum. Andrew had his finger on the pulse quicker than most hardcore theater fans ever had or ever will have. Yes, I said it. Come at me. I don't care. And Andrew, I admire you for sticking to your guns by saying how much you preferred The Frogs as a whole over Forum with some of the elements of that show. And this shows Jess's point that even if Jess gets bought out, Andrew never can. And your insistence on covering this show made for a perfect episode.
You know, the only reason I wanted to cover it was because it was called The Frogs. And then when Jess was like, no, it's bad. It's about Dionysus. I was like, wait, I want to cover it more now.
It's in a swimming pool.
Chaos.
The swimming pool recordings were hard to find and horrendous.
Yes.
I will say that.
But Meryl Streep is one of the ensemble members in that swimming pool production.
Amazing.
Shit.
Amazing.
Yeah, The Frogs. That is secretly one of my favorite Sondheims now. So, yes, I was wrong.
Hey, there you go. I wonder if Meryl is that on her resume, though. It'd be interesting to know.
I think she brought that up. Like, she brings it up quite a bit. Because that's where she met Sondheim and how they had a relationship when Into the Woods came about.
Oh, well, now you know. Okay. So, number four is episode 254, Trouble in Tahiti.
I forgot we did that.
You're noticing a pattern here where some of your best episodes are one where you discuss composers' lesser-known works. Mm-hmm. And I think the only Bernstein musical you've covered so far is West Side Story, along with his a reference to his Peter Pan in your Peter Pan episode. And it was fascinating to hear the context of the story, especially when the Fablemans had come out around the same time. There's also another pattern I've noticed where the opera episodes of Musicals with Cheese are some of the best. And you guys aren't snoots about it. It's clear opera isn't your normal cup of tea every day, but you don't go shitting on it just because it's like, you know, highbrow classical music. Interesting that I'm saying that after you guys just talked about Tar today. But also, plus, Jess's story about seeing the show was the cherry on top.
What? Remind me of what it was?
I don't remember. All I know is it was funny.
I remember.
You gotta listen to the episode.
It.
It's a teaser.
Yeah, listen to the episode. Find out the story.
Listen to the episode. You'll never find out here.
We're not going to give it away.
Oh, yes.
We have very good memories here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for you, Juliet. I'm glad you loved that episode because that was very personal show to me. I listened to it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I picked out every playing of Trouble in Tahiti in Maestro, and they play it a good amount.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because when they cut to just him existing on life, it's just like, zooby-doo-wop-wop, whatever that song is.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, Andrew, anything?
I remember liking this show and thinking it was a weird thing to cover, but I think we need to do more opera.
Yeah, I try to squeeze it in every now and then. All right, Julia, what's next?
All right, number 3, episode 232, The Music Man Revival.
Oh, yes. Boy.
Folks,
good one.
Let me take you back to when this was announced on theater Twitter. The rage. A mezzo taking a classic soprano role in a world where sopranos are an endangered species and will soon be locked in a room screaming glitter and be gay. A man who snuggles up with fascists for a lead and an abusive producer who killed Beetlejuice. The lackluster reviews were delicious. Andrew and Jess, you could have easily just done a Nostalgia Critic-esque rant about everything that was appallingly wrong about this production, and we would have been cheering, to be honest. But instead, you took the more critical road, and we have a better episode for it. You went into detail about why this was a slap in the face to the original. I'm not even a fan of the original, and I was offended on Meredith Wilson's behalf. It also had some iconic Musicals with Cheese moments, such as Andrew editing in Band Geeks from SpongeBob to show why Robert Preston could do donuts around Hugh any day, and also sparking the brilliant idea of a gender-bent revival, which led to incredible fan art by, I believe, Captain Rodtastic, an incredible episode.
I love this episode so much.
That was one of my best edits, I think. The
yes, I agree.
I think I sent that to Jess and said I'll never
you
top
did.
This.
You literally did. I think I was like one of like your first like 5 edits. Like it was very early on in your run.
I still don't
like,
think I've topped it though. That's one of my best edits.
I don't know. The Brigadoon Columbo edit.
Okay, that one's pretty good too. Sometimes you just have material that just lends itself to something, and then other times I'm just
memes.
Like, I got nothing here.
I think Jess told me a while ago that he, for a video, he wanted me to make a video out of the Music Man episode, and I never got working on that. So if you're interested in that.
Yeah, hit Liz Esten up on
let
Twitter.
Let us know.
Now that it's number 3 in the top 10.
Yeah.
We might.
Yeah, but we got 2 more to go, and I could shit on Hugh Jackman all night, truly.
So could I.
I can pretend to laugh, too, but let's move on.
Number 2, episode 259, The Pee Wee Herman Show.
Okay, let's go!
The timing of this one was everything, given how soon it came out after Paul Reubens' passing. If you had covered it at any other time in the show's history, then it wouldn't have done as well because of the emotional impact, it would have been lost. And we have the juxtaposition of the two of you perfectly. Jess is the childhood fan with nostalgia, and Andrew is rediscovering Pee-wee Herman and learning about the franchise and the man. This was also a good episode because we get to see Jess embrace your inner child and be genuinely happy, even when screaming after the secret word of the day. This is also because it was Cheese and it was like, oh God, I know when they say Keeper the Cheese, he's going to scream. And it's like, oh, I would rather you do ASMR for my name every single day. Anyway, this is also another episode where we get a pretty good and thorough timeline as we track Paul Reubens' career. And it also cleared up a lot of the scandal surrounding Paul Reubens for me as well.
I'm grateful. I love that episode, and I knew that was like one of the ones where it's like, I know it's not a musical, but I my soul needs this more than like actually I think this belongs on the show. So I'm glad you liked it. I really am.
I did.
I thought that was a very good episode when we recorded it, so I'm glad it's on here.
I think we paired it with Ride, which is a much less good episode because I committed to the bit in a different way.
I think that episode is interesting just because you are actually riding a bike the entire fucking time.
That was a risk. I don't think that one paid off.
How'd your body feel the next day?
Oh, it felt fine. I do that.
How about top one worst episodes? Was it that?
I would be interested in what the worst episode of the year is.
There's quite a few.
Oh yeah, there's like a tie for 50.
Not what I meant. I will say, I forgot to say this in the opening. When Jess said, hey, can you put together a list for 2023? I said, yeah. And I texted him, this is the quickest I've ever done a list. And he's like, why were all the episodes that bad this year? And I forgot to tell him, no, it was because I was actually marking it in the spreadsheet as I went along this year. So that's why it took a quick time to put together, not because of quality.
Garbage emoji.
Smart.
Garbage. Respect on that name.
All right, Juliet, we built up. What is our number one episode of 2023?
Okay, let me first of all say, I don't think you'll ever do an episode like this again.
Oh.
But we'll get into it when I reveal it. Number one of 2023 is episode 230, A Star is Born, of them. Okay.
This
the moment I first
so
heard this
fucking
episode,
long to edit. I'm sorry.
No, it was worth it. Because the minute I first heard this episode, I knew it would be number one of the year. Because what a behemoth! The two of you watched all four films and were able to weave together a chronological narrative about the history of the Star Is Born franchise, and that included tiny details such as how the name of the male lead evolved over the years. I was thoroughly impressed. The research paid off. And I think given this film's place in film history and the pop culture zeitgeist, you had to do it justice. Then, as I said, I don't think you'll ever come close to doing an episode that's about more than one version of the same musical. I mean, the only one I can think of is Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, but that's about it. And because
that would
this
be exhausting.
Yeah, and because this was a truly once-in-a-blue-moon episode that you pulled off so well, I gave this the number one for the year.
Understandable. I love this episode too. I knew it was behemoth at the time. I think because that I paired it with Anastasia, which Andrew and I saw months ago, so I just knew that we had the time and I was gonna take advantage of that. Yeah, I love that episode. I remember all the cramming, all the research. That one was another one my soul needed.
I'm pretty sure I had to, and I didn't have to, I guess, but there's a part near the end where we talk about each version and I edit in like them saying kind of the same line from each version. That took me so long to find the line in each version and then edit it into every single section. So yeah, the editing on that one was that took me probably 6 hours.
Yes, and I do want to say, Andrew, that is the third episode of Musicals with Cheese you ever edited.
Yeah. So you gave me a tough one right away.
And you set up your own you kind of did your own thing for Blue's Clues and Little Mermaid, but Star is Born is really where your Andrew DeWolf style came to be, I think. And the show got a lot more memey and quippy.
Which I personally love.
It depends.
I was about to say.
Like, I have two different styles. I feel like if our episode's more informative or we have a guest, I kind of let it rock. But then there's other episodes where we go off the rails, and so I bring the editing off the rails for those too.
All right. So, were there any big honorable mentions on there for you?
Not at that point. I mean, I think any honorable mentions that I had, I ended up taking off the list just so I could focus on the top 10. So if there are, and if I've forgotten them, I'm sorry. But I will say, and I always say this every year, if you were a guest and your episode was not featured this year, this is nothing against the guests. All the guests in 2023 were wonderful, and I loved all the people that you had on this year.
You know what? I think they're terrible. Never invited on again. Didn't make the top 10. You're gone. Big Beak alone. You're the only one that's coming back.
Oh, not after the last episode. I'm kidding.
Well, the Five Timers Club was good while it lasted.
Yep. Fuck you, Sideways. You're gone.
Big Beak.
What was wrong with School of Rock? I thought that was a great episode.
It's the mostly the hour that no one else heard.
Oh yeah,
that was the best hour of the episode.
I know, right?
It was, and you had to cut it out. You had to cut it out.
There was literally no other option. We can't. We couldn't release.
We could not release that. But my God, was it some of the funniest things on this podcast?
I've never heard in my life.
The School of Rock episode is why you should become a patron. That is. That's
it. Literally is.
Yeah.
Join the Patreon, and you will get to hear all of that in its unfiltered glory.
I think it's a difference between like an hour and 5 minute podcast and a 2 hour podcast.
It went 2 hours.
I cut so much out of that, and I felt bad about it because I was like, this is the funniest part of the whole episode, mm-hmm. but like it couldn't stay.
Juliet, that is a wonderful list. I understand every one of them, and I'm so grateful that you listened to every one of our episodes. When we started this, we didn't dream that like three people would listen to this, and if they did, they only listened to one episode, and you've listened to every one, and that
exactly.
is so wonderful. And
since
so
you were
grateful.
In video format.
Oh, God.
Since episode zero. Oh, I no, Jess, you know how far back this goes? I was listening to you when I was in middle school and you were XX Jess World XX. I have been there for years.
That's cringe. I'm sorry you experienced cringe.
It was just the first time I met him and he was like, that's his exact response.
You know, I was in those videos.
Kind yeah, of. He was. Andrew was. No one remembers that, but you were.
I was in them.
Huh, that's interesting. Okay.
No one will ever see. They're all gone. They're
all
the
gone.
The
yeah,
earth.
They're all gone. Nobody go looking for them.
But
yeah.
I was Jeff.
The stormtrooper.
Oh, okay.
Don't go looking for them.
We ready for cheese?
I'm ready for cheese. Get us off this topic.
All right. So, we're going to do Jess, Andrew, Guest, and Liz. Okay. Jess, your best cheese rating of the year was from The Book Thief, where you gave the show The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Tales because it was cheese and you had actually stolen the book.
Yep, that tracks. Out of context, that would be a really offensive thing, but I'm glad you could put that back in its context.
Exactly, of course. Andrew.
Oh boy.
Your top cheese rating for the year was, I already referenced it, Cheetos Fantastic's Flaming Hot from The Music Man. It was perfect.
It was from the Fantastics, wasn't it?
Yep, exactly. Ah. And for the guests, the best cheese rating from the guests overall, making this the second time they've been featured on this list in this capacity, is Brent Black for Con the Musical with the green cheese the moon is made of.
Brilliant.
Iconic.
Oh, Brent. We got to have him on again, but we don't have 9 hours.
Get him
it's
and
funny,
in big room and watch
true.
Everything explode.
That was lovely. And Liz.
Oh, and Liz.
Hi, and Liz. I'm here.
For your cumulative cheese rating, I went all the way back. This technically isn't from 2023, but it made me laugh so hard. Your top cheese rating is from The Devil's Carnival and Alleluia, where you had a cheese platter, but it's communion wafers instead of crackers.
Ooh.
Wow. I forgot about that one.
That is absolutely wonderful. And Juliet,
I was raised Catholic. Those traumatized me. They were always stale and tasted like cardboard.
So everybody has been saying, oh, wow, I forgot about that one. I forgot about that one. So basically, I remember it so you don't have to.
Oh!
God damn.
I'm so sorry. God forgive me for what I just said.
Brown air. Boom. Meet your nostalgia chick.
Oh no.
Oh no. We've gotten to that point of the evening where we're just saying words. Juliet, you're one of the best people I've ever met. Truly, through this entire experience, you have been nothing but a joy to know as a human being. I am so grateful I get to say your name every week as the person that keeps track of this. You are amazing and you are so talented, and promote your stuff for the world to find you.
Okay, on Twitter, I am Juliet Thespiet. On Instagram, I am Aurora99. I have a show on YouTube called My Dad Listens to This, where Dad and I review albums in his music collection. We just wrapped up season 5 with The Straitjackets, and we are starting season 6 with the irresistible Kathy Dennis. And if you've been listening for a while and wonder why Jess whispers my name at the end of every episode, it's because I write ASMR, roleplay, and romance and erotica for voice actors such as Date Audio, Darien Audio, Eastgate Audio, and Mr. Foxhound. I have been taking a break from writing those scripts because I'm currently doing the prom at East End Theater in Rhode Island, but I have some scripts for Mr. Fox that are going to be coming in their way down the pipeline, so you can definitely expect some romantic and spicy content in 2024. And that's all I got.
That is wonderful. I do have one final question, and then we'll wrap this on up.
Shoot.
Who did the best ASMR of the year?
Grace Aki.
I figured.
And there was one more person who also did it really, really well. I can't remember, but if I think of it, I'll let you know. But yeah.
Wasn't it Laura Crone that you mentioned?
Oh, Laura Crone does
the best ASMR in the Discord.
Grace and Laura, yes, they're the top two. Like when I legitimately say they could have a career being ASMR voice actors, I'm not just saying that to flatter them. They literally sound like some of the actors I've had to work with before. So hey, if they ever want an extra paycheck, the internet's open.
Heck yeah. The internet's open for all of us and all of our voices.
Yes.
Thank you so much again, Juliet. You are amazing. And thank you for listening. And hopefully we'll have some more fun things coming up this year that'll make another top 10 list. And sometime we got to do all out of all 300 episodes a proper top 10.
Oh boy.
We'll see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.